It's already been a devastating journey for the families of the Sandy Hook victims. And in this latest update regarding Alex Jones, for those of you who are not familiar, Alex Jones, who used to have a full broadcast and was, you know, deemed a conspiracy theorist, he was sued for millions of dollars and was supposed to pay back money to the Sandy Hook families. And a big reason is because his broadcast and the many followers who believed him started to harass the families of the victims. And so this lawsuit's been playing out, but there was a new update, actually. This was in News Times, saying that Alex Jones was apparently trying to recover $5 million in cash in real estate, but allegedly moved it in sham transactions to his wife and father in order to shield the assets from Sandy Hook families. Joining us now, attorney Chris Maddie, who has been representing some of these Sandy Hook victim families. And attorney Maddie, we appreciate your time here on the air. What was your reaction to this?
Well, good morning. Yeah, we were aware that he had been doing this for some time. You know, part of the bankruptcy process requires, you know, people who are seeking protection to put all of their assets into one pool so that their creditors can be paid. But what we expected Alex Jones would do would be to try and hide money, prevent money from going into the bankruptcy court. And the court had appointed a trustee to make sure that he wasn't doing that. And sure enough, the trustee's investigation determined that he had been trying to transfer his assets to, you know, his father, his wife, transfer real estate, not disclose real estate. And so the trustee, you know, took official action over the last few days to file lawsuits to recover and recoup all that money that Jones tried to transfer out of the bankruptcy estate and away from his creditors.
That's so brutal. So, I mean, what happens then if, in fact, it's proven that he was moving kind of sham transactions around? What ends up happening?
Yeah, so, you know, that lawsuit will move through the bankruptcy court. And because it's in the bankruptcy court, it'll probably move pretty quickly. And what will happen is the trustee will be able to claw back that money that was wrongfully transferred, bring it back into the, you know, asset pool for the benefit of creditors. And I should say that, you know, even as Jones has tried to transfer some money out of his estate, there's been plenty that the trustee has been able to collect from him. Jones has had to sell, you know, his house. Jones has had to sell his guns. Jones has had to transfer all of his cash into the bankruptcy court. And so there is going to be some money available for the families that we represent. And then, you know, the most important thing that has happened in bankruptcy court is the bankruptcy judge decided that his debts to us could not be discharged in bankruptcy court, which means that any income he makes for the rest of his life is essentially going to be due to our families. And there's a receiver that's being appointed in Texas state court to go after that income. So things are moving. They're moving too slowly, but they're moving.
So we have attorney Chris Maddie here, who, again, represents the families of the Sandy Hook victims in this case against Alex Jones. And I do want to just reiterate for people who don't know, the federal Justice Department in charge of liquidating Jones's assets to pay these families. You know, this is a defamation case that played out. And attorney Maddie, remind folks, how much does Jones owe the families?
Yeah, so we tried a case in Waterbury in 2022 on behalf of 15 individuals who had lost family members at Sandy Hook and one first responder to Sandy Hook, alleging that Jones had defamed them for years and basically unleashed a campaign of hate and harassment against them by suggesting and asserting that the Sandy Hook shooting had never happened and that the families were actors. And as a result of that trial, a jury awarded the families $1.4 billion in damages. And the lion's share of that verdict has been upheld by the Connecticut appellate courts. And so we are now kind of in the final stages of now collecting against that. Obviously, Jones doesn't have $1.4 billion, and money was never the point of the lawsuit to begin with. But what we're starting to see is real accountability for Alex Jones as he's forced to sell his assets, as his business assets are going to be, you know, stripped from him. And to the extent he desires to continue to work, any money he makes while doing that is going to be paid to the family. So we are at that point where, you know, the collections are finally able to proceed.
Attorney Maddie, I'm curious, what is your response when there are people, even if they weren't Alex Jones fans, that feel this is too harsh a punishment on Alex Jones and that he's being used as an example of what not to do with spreading misinformation and lies online or on broadcasts? What do you say to people who feel like this went too far?
Well, you know, I think that for people who followed this closely, they probably don't feel that way. For people who just look at the, you know, the amount of the verdict, they're probably asking themselves, geez, how could a jury have arrived at that number? But the evidence that we presented at trial was that on the day of the shooting, before the police had even cleared the school, Jones was on the air telling an audience of millions that it was staged. And then over the course of 10 years after that, he continued to tell an audience that had only grown in size, not only that it was staged, but that the families had faked their children's death, that their children had never really existed at all, that they were part of some grand conspiracy to undermine the Second Amendment. And as a result of that, he directed his audience members to, quote unquote, investigate. And that resulted in years of harassment. So families, after losing their children, now were forced to move, were forced to keep weapons by their bedside because people were coming to Newtown and threatening to harass them and even do worse. So that sort of torment over 10 years after losing your child was devastating and really happened without many of us knowing about it. Mm-hmm. And we were able to prove at trial that Jones was the one who started it and reached hundreds of millions of people. So, you know, what we see now is that lies and misinformation, when they can spread in a viral way online, have far more devastating consequences than, you know, defamation used to before the internet, before social media. They can ruin people's lives. And so that's why this case was so important. And, you know, the reality is that Alex Jones, like, he's living his life. He can say whatever he wants to say. He can continue on, and anybody who's willing to put a microphone in front of his face, you know, will be able to hear what he has to say, but he has to pay for what he did. And that's what this is really about.
And Attorney Maddie, I so appreciate your answer. And I think it's very important for people to remember back why this case even happened. So thank you for outlining that. Last question for you. I remember earlier this year, a judge had denied what was sort of a deal between the Sandy Hook families. They really liked the idea of The Onion taking over what was InfoWars, which was Alex Jones's, and a judge denied that ultimately in February of this year. Any update on what's happening now with InfoWars?
Yeah. So, you know, Judge Lopez, who's supervising the bankruptcy proceeding, decided that he didn't want to have an auction of the InfoWars assets in the bankruptcy court. And he basically told us, hey, if you want to go grab InfoWars, you can do it in state court. And so now there's a state court receiver being appointed. And the purpose of the receiver is basically to receive those assets. And that receiver, we expect, will then sell the InfoWars assets to The Onion or any buyer who is aligned with the family's objectives of making sure that Alex Jones never has the ability to do what he did to our families, to anybody else, meaning he won't have the business infrastructure to do it. And actually in state court, we have more ability to direct how those assets are handled. And so we think that that's still going to happen. We need to understand that The Onion is still very much interested in taking over those assets. And so this is, you know, an example, Melissa, of things grinding on pretty slowly, but because the families we represent have been so persistent and determined, we're still going to get to that result.
Attorney Chris Maddie, I want to thank you so much for always making the time to come on and talk about this. It matters an awful lot to our listeners as well as us here on WICC, and thank you for the good work that you do. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care.